B-Pod Studios.
It's the 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Misnelli Show. The 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie. Hoagie party tray is every bit as good. We'll talk to Corey Simon from NBC Sports Philly, covering the Phillies. And they'll get the latest on the Bryce Harper, Manny Machado sweepstakes. A lot of people thought it was going to happen, like, overnight. A lot of people thought it was going to happen yesterday because it took off. But
We all did. Everyone in the building did.
Apparently, this thing, it goes around here. When I take a day off, something magnificent happens.
Yeah.
And it's happened a couple times. But it didn't happen yesterday, so we'll see how close it is to happening. And if you haven't noticed, I put the whole thing together now just for Natalie's purposes. So what I was going to do, see, the tie becomes less the story when it's surrounded by the jacket, Tyrone, as you can see here.
Yeah, I see.
See, this is like a tan Glenn Plaid, fine Glenn Plaid pattern.
And you know, Natalie is always bending over backwards to be so nice. And I noticed when you ask her about the tie.
She stammered.
Stop
she,
it.
She did. She stammered heavily.
You know, well, because spider, I don't. You're stammering, stuttering.
Because I haven't made an honest, I didn't have an honest opinion on
it. Let me just tell you what I was going for here. See, it's the blue is the shirt, but also there's blue in the Glenn Plaid. There's brown, there's a little bit of gray, which you can pick up with the tie here. Mm-hmm. And the orange makes it pop against the rest of the colors.
It's an ensemble. I see.
It is. See, the colors of the tie blend in with the coat.
I think it's a great ensemble.
It may look like it's christening tie, but when you put it together, you know, with the coat, you don't see that much of the tie. You just see the popping of the coat
with the tie. See now? Look, you see now?
I see now. I didn't have an opinion on it either way.
You did.
No, I didn't.
It's okay, but I'm just telling you, and you might not even like it now, but I'll tell you
what
I was going for.
It's a fine tie.
All the colors in this tie correspond to the coat, and I have kind of wool navy pants on.
I did notice slacks. The pants. I know it was a great outfit. So you looked great. I just don't have feelings about ties either way. I don't.
You don't have feelings about ties either way.
No.
Like, well, you don't think a tie is a good look for somebody?
No, I do. I just, right. I don't look at a tie and really think about it. I have a lot of other things on my mind.
The object of a tie is that you think about. That's why you buy the tie.
I know, but.
The object of the tie is the first thing you should pop out.
I have a lot on my mind, Mike. Updates, sound.
I do a lot of stuff over here.
Yeah.
Man.
All right. Whatever. That's it. I'll keep
my hair
for one more segment, and that's his. I'm like, it's a wool blend, so I'm like,
you're gonna be sweating a little hot,
but I can keep it together. So Nat doesn't think it's or Michelle Murray at NBC Sports Philly.
Yeah.
Manny in New Jersey on 97.5 Fanatic. Manny.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Manny? How you doing?
Good. I'm at the doctor's office with my son. I've been waiting at the thing. I said, if they call me right now, I got to talk. The ladies are here. Everybody's quiet. But now they send me back so I could talk. I'm in the back way.
Oh, cool. All right. That's cool.
Now, real quick, Mike, the tie.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking a turn of itself, the tie. What happened with the tie is the young lady put the TV on. Usually dressed casual, business casual,
exactly.
Nice and low-key.
Exactly.
Today, she puts it on. You got a tie, your sports coat. She don't know what's going on. She goes, this guy thinks he's all that now. So she started busting your chops. You know what I mean?
Right. The circumstances were that I had to do something with the tie this morning. So
that's what now she knows, he has a little shindig later. That's why he did it.
Well, a shindig before, and one before and after. So I'm caught between here.
Yeah, you got a double shindig. You got
exactly,
to wear the tie.
Exactly. It's a double shindig.
She didn't know that.
Okay.
Now she knows, and now she's like, oh, man.
All right, cool.
All right. Now, for baseball, Mike.
Uh-huh.
The home team gets the visiting team once a year. They can't tell them when. The outfield wall looks like a wall, but it's just paper. The guy runs back to catch the ball. He goes right through the wall.
Runs through the wall.
So
how are you going to roll out the paper wall?
Like, no. You got to do it before the game. Nobody knows.
Oh, nobody knows it's a paper wall.
Not even the fans. It's just for the fans.
But then he's not going to go through because he still thinks it's a real wall. So he's going to pull up.
So he got to know
that it's paper before he goes through it.
But they don't tell the fans.
But don't tell the fans.
Oh, don't tell the fans. Just tell the players.
I was thinking.
And you're like busting through like Jonathan Moxon in Varsity Blues. I got you.
That's what I was thinking.
All right.
And the other one for baseball is, you want to do the shift, you got to take the guy out. You can't shift him to the other side. You just got to pull him out.
Take him out like that's hockey. Have a power play.
Take him out.
Ways to blend hockey and baseball, the power play concept. All right, man, you want a general knowledge question?
I definitely
auto show
I get it right.
Tickets. Here it is. Spouses, singers by spouses. I'm going to give you the spouse of this singer.
Give me Beyonce.
I'm sorry. I got to give you the first one up. The spouse is Jessica Biel. Who's the singer?
Timberlake.
Yes, it is. Justin Timberlake. That is correct.
They're actually a pretty solid couple, it seems like.
Yeah, they are.
I'm a huge Jessica Biel fan.
She's beautiful.
Huge.
Yeah, she's actually sort of outside of your normal type, too.
Yeah, she is.
So that's a little bit of a surprise.
Well, I mean, you think I have a type.
We know you do.
Mike.
No, I really don't have a type.
Come on, man. All right.
It's beauty's beauty.
Okay.
Jessica Biel's beautiful.
All right.
All right, Dave in Holmesburg. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike. How
What's
you
up,
doing?
Dave? Good. What's up, man?
Listen, I really didn't notice your tie either, because the mic kind of hides the knot, you know, that big mic in front of you.
Yeah, it does hide it a little bit.
Okay.
You know, but listen, man, with the coat, I'm hooked up.
Oh, you look awesome today.
I'm hooked up with the coat.
Come back. You look great.
Exactly. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, and Ty did a great job yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Okay, and I got a crazy thing. I don't know how crazy this is, but you can score 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, and 6 points in pro football, any football.
Right.
I want to go with 4 points and 5 points.
How do you do that?
18 feet wide is the goalpost, 18 something. I want to
shrink it.
Mechanical one, pop up in the middle, 2 foot wide.
I like it, because that's like arena ball.
The 50s,
it's like the 56. That's like the arena goalpost. You can get four if you choose to shrink it. Like, if you're 4 points down, it's not a two-score game.
50 to 56, through it is 4 points.
I like it.
Anything above that is 5 points.
I like it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you want a general knowledge question?
I'll try, buddy.
All right, we're in general knowledge category. Let's go with this one here. Who wrote A Tale of Two Cities?
I should know that, but I don't.
Ah, that'd be Charlie Dickens. Charles Dickens. The two cities he wrote about were Minneapolis and St. Paul. And he said, it's cold here, and the end. That was the Tale of Two Cities. Remember last year how cold it is outside of that? We would be sunbathing here. Compared to how cold it was in Minnesota, we were there at the same time last year.
It was hell on earth. I could not believe that was place was real. Couldn't believe it.
I never forget the snowstorm. There's a snowstorm in the middle. Like, I was trying to get from one steakhouse to the other. I never seen a snowstorm that went in every east, west, south, and north.
And north, right.
At the same time. Like, because you think you can turn on it, get out of the window, and turn left. And it was worse. I've never seen a city like it.
The cigar party, Joel's cigar party, they had a tent set up with heaters. Mm. And it was still, I think, 30 in the cigar tent, so nobody could smoke.
Exactly. You took a cigar, it turned to a blow pop.
Right. It was so cold.
It did. Rick and Kate May, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rick.
Hi, Mike.
What's
First
up?
First time,
man?
Long time.
Thanks, buddy.
It's just all you need now is a trench coat. You'll fit the mold. But anyway... I got three ideas for...
Wait, give me London Fog, though. You got to give me London Fog. Well, can't be anything else but London Fog.
Right. And Kelsey called. He wants the tie back after you're done.
Oh, man. Look at you.
Oh, I'm kidding you, buddy. I've been listening to you forever.
Keep him coming, Rick.
Oh, I'm kidding, buddy.
Everybody's got him.
No, I'm kidding. Anyways, maybe a few changes that might make it interesting.
Okay.
In basketball... The last 2 minutes of the half and the fourth quarter, there's no dribbling. Everything's a pass. And if you go to overtime, it goes to 2-on-2.
Full court?
Sure, why not?
Full court 2-on-2? Oh, man. Sure. I don't know about that. That would wreck some people. So no, why do you want no dribbling?
Oh, I don't know.
Dribbling is, yeah, but dribbling is a beautiful part of the game.
To get the
ball down the floor to dribble is like really not. I don't know about that. I don't think I'd like to no dribble.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Baseball,
you took a shot.
Ninth inning, you use a softball. preferably a girl that comes in and wings it about 100 miles an hour.
You want fast pitch softball? How about they turn it into a slow pitch game for the last couple?
That's fine. Whatever you want to bring in.
All right. Yeah, I don't think I like those either.
Yeah, like that.
No, you don't like my.
Just go like you trust my tie.
Yeah, yeah. You Kelsey'd me. All right, here's your general knowledge question. Things that are cold.
All right. Bad.
Chris Martin's band.
Oh, Jesus!
Chris Martin's band.
Oh God, Coldplay.
Correct. Coldplay. You like Coldplay, Tyrone? You don't look like a Coldplay type of guy.
I am a Coldplay
guy. You are?
Guy.
Really?
Yeah. I usually, most of the music I listen to is mellow.
Yeah.
I'm always fighting my inner, you know, killer. So I'll listen to a lot of mellow music.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Nat? Are you a Coldplay fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw them at Made in America Live because they always sell out when they come here, and they just put on a terrific show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Solid.
Yep. Anthony in Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Ant?
Nothing too much. I got a few crazy sports rules, and then I also want to ask you about the Eagles possibly picking up Ingram from the Saints this year.
Okay.
But as far as my sports rules, the first one, not really too crazy, but on a two-point attempt, if there's an interception or a fumble, and it results in an opposing team's touchdown, I think those points should count. The other thing would be is any time that there is a challenge on the field, I'd like to have the coaches mic'd up with an explanation from the refs just to hear the banter back and forth.
I like that. Now, it'd be a lot of expletives that you have to worry about there. All right, so you want like a missed extra point for them to return it to you. That's the college rule. The college rule is you score points off of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You get two in college? Now in the NFL, you already get that in the NFL.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, you hear the crowd, they get pumped up, everybody's excited. Yeah. And, you know, as a defender, I mean, you know, you're out there risking, you know, your health and you're
yeah, but the rule already exists. You do get points off it. You want, like, what, more points?
Well, no, I mean, I haven't seen, like, if there's an interception in the NFL and they run it back for a touchdown on a two-point attempt.
Yes, yeah, 2 points.
It's 2 points. It does? Okay.
Yeah.
I will,
they changed that. College was ahead of the pros, but the pros eventually caught up with that.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah, sure.
2000s movie co-stars. I'm going to give you two co-stars of a movie. You give me the movie. Clint Eastwood, Hilary Swank.
It's Million Dollar Baby.
That is correct. Million Dollar Baby. That's well done.
She was real in that movie.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she trained.
With a real pro boxer. Yeah. By the end, she was able to hold her own with pros in sparring sessions.
I have to admit, that was another movie that made me weep. It did.
Her family came.
Add that to the list.
With City of Angels.
I wept. I wept. Did you not weep at that movie?
What? At Million Dollar Baby? Yes, I did.
Oh my God, was that sad.
I know.
Yeah, the ending
wasn't
the
Oscar
part,
for that.
Yeah, the ending wasn't the saddest part to me.
What was the saddest part?
When the family came and like didn't care about her. That hurt me more than, I feel like at the end it was almost,
quality of life. Yeah, I think that was the prime of the pump. That scene kind of got your emotions weakened. And then you could gush it.
That was already gone.
I don't think that, I can't imagine you ever shedding a tear in any kind of a movie, Tyrone. At all.
Let me think.
Let
me think.
Nah. I can't see it.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nothing?
Nah, not a movie. I mean, there's tons of things that I'm proud about.
Commercials?
No, not no commercials.
Not even that piggy bank one that was just...
No.
Hmm.
Yeah, Million Dollar Baby got me. Evan and Manioc, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Evan.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's going on, Evan?
I just want to talk about Ben Simmons because I really, for the life of me, cannot understand why there's fans out there that want to trade him.
I think it's prompted by the availability of Anthony Davis. Now, it's a fair question. Would you trade Ben Simmons straight up for Anthony Davis? Because Anthony Davis is the better player right now. So I think that's what got people thinking that they would even trade him. But short of that, you know, I don't know. First of all, would you trade him for Anthony Davis?
That's a wonderful question. I mean, well, I'm thinking about before. There were talks about it even before. And the only really theory that I have is that people don't realize that he's still in his second year. And he's young. And I know the shooting's not there, but he's only in his second year because I think people think he's a lot older. Because you look at him, he looks super old, yeah. And he plays like he's a five-year vet. So I don't think people realize that.
You're absolutely right, first of all. I don't think people take inventory of the great plays that he makes like clockwork on like every other possession. Like they expect that and they'll criticize when he doesn't shoot, but they don't take inventory of the greatness that he shows every game.
I agree. One last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody want to hear you talk about your ties, man. We came here to listen to sports. If I wanted to listen to fashion, I'd turn on E! News.
That's not true!
Yeah, but it's called having a little fun, Evan. Now, maybe it's not in your vocabulary, having a little fun, but that's what we try to do. Like, you know, sometimes we branch off, like when there's not that many pressing sports issues. So I'll let you program the show right now. Like, what would you like us to talk about?
Talk about sports.
Okay, no, specifically.
Talk about Philly sports. Plenty of baseball,
specific. NBA. All right, Evan, I want you to give me a subject that's really going to kick ass. Go ahead.
Bryce Harper, man. Manny Machado.
Oh,
Oh,
we haven't talked about them? Oh, you know,
Evan,
that's a brand new concept. You mean to tell me they're trying to get Bryce Harper or Manny Machado?
Oh, there's plenty of others.
No, my God. Evan, can you call like every day? So we know what to talk about.
For you, man.
All right, let's do that. Call every day so we can get the idea of what's really good to talk about. Manny, who would have thought? Manny Machado and Bryce Harper?
You know
who would have thought talking about that?
Wait,
we're going to do it.
Jesus.
You've been talking about it, Mike.
What the hell's wrong with me?
We're going to do it. We're going to let the guys like him and you know these other guys, we're going to let them have to go on the air.
My God, I haven't even thought of talking about those two guys.
It's going to happen.
Let's kick that to that. That's a little spin off.
Where are they going?
When are they going to sign Manny Machado and Bryce Harper? When and where are they going to sign? That's today's topic. Come on, man.
What's that? Let's host.
Give us a break, bro. Huh? All right, let's go. Alex and King of Prussia. Alex, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Alex.
Hey, Mike.
What's going on, Alex?
I've been wanting to call about this. Mm-hmm. NBA rule, actually, for a couple days. It's not even a ridiculous rule change. I think this is a rule that would prevent teams from being forced to trade their superstar players mm-hmm. when they're demanding a trade, like Anthony Davis, for mm-hmm. example.
Yeah.
Just give, if a team loses an elite free agent,
yeah.
just give them a compensatory lottery pick. So,
well,
you see what I'm saying?
Why should they be rewarded for losing a player? Yeah, like why do we have to if free agency is truly free agency, then what's going to happen is that it's not really going to be free agency if there's something attached to it. You know,
players are still free to leave on their own. This will just prevent teams from being forced to cave and trade their players, and or else get nothing in return.
If you give them a compensatory pick, you're taking that pick away from somebody else. In other words, you're delaying it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you're diluting
it. As an added bonus, though, you're somewhat slightly, diminishing tanking uh-huh. because now a team that, say the okay. Pelicans next year,
yeah.
they don't trade Davis,
right.
they get a pick. You don't think uh-huh. that would help out at all?
A compensatory pick would be like what, though? Like 33rd?
No. I think
what could you give them without punishing another team? You can't give them a high draft pick and punish another team that's in the pecking order, right?
Well, I think you can. I mean, I don't think a team should be rewarded for being terrible.
Oh,
well,
give me an idea. The Pelicans lose him. Now, what would be the compensatory pick?
So they have to come up with some criteria based on how good the player is, based on, say, like all NBA.
Well, he's one of the top five players in the game. So are you suggesting then yeah. that the Pelicans would then get a top five draft pick?
I think they get put in the lottery and with a chance from a pick, I don't know, between 1 and 10, they get X amount of
points. I think that's unfairly punishing another team, but I get you.
The logistics are tough, though.
It is. You couldn't really figure it out.
Right.
Like how to fairly compensate the Pelicans.
Right, because they would lose them this season.
Mm-hmm.
then they would play next season because the draft is going to happen before they lose him because it's draft, then free agency. Then what happens if they somehow sign somebody else to end up winning the championship? Now they get rewarded with the five pick, even though they didn't really, because they could lose Davis hypothetically and sign Durant. Like, there's no reason that you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to think about it. It makes sense, and yet it doesn't make sense. All right, guess what? Evan, if you're still listening, in about 7 minutes, we're going to talk about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. Brand new topic. We never discussed it before. We're going to open up the box on that topic and talk to Corey Seidman of NBC Sports Philly to see, to get some inside views on when this is going to happen and whether the Phillies are going to get either one of them. That's coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5, the Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. Yeah, the baseball thing in this town has been on edge for so long that we've lost our edge. We don't know. We have no idea when this whole thing's going to happen, whether they're going to get one or the other or both or whatever they're doing. So we got to call in some folks that may know behind the scenes what's going on and when this is going to happen. Corey Seidman covering the Phillies for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Always has the inside scoop. He joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Corey, what's going on? Can you please tell me?
Mike, we got Groundhog Day in a few days, and it really has felt like that for the last 3 months here in Philadelphia, that every day you wake up expecting to see movement, expecting to see an advancement of negotiations or, you know, some sort of resolution with Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, and there just hasn't been one with... You know, this week serving as yet another false alarm. It was kind of almost like a self-created hype storm yesterday on Twitter that didn't result in anything. And I can't be too surprised because of where it, you know, generated from. But we're just at a stare down where Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, neither one of them wants to be the guy that signs first or the guy that gets less money. And so you have both sides looking at each other. You have the teams in talks looking at each other. And nobody so far has blinked. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if this lasted another week or two.
Well, I'm curious to know why the Phillies would play this game. I understand they want to save as much money as they can. They don't want to negotiate against themselves. But, you know, they have the wherewithal to do it. And to me, when you play a dangerous game, it could blow up in your face. What is their attack here? What's their plan?
Well, see, I'm with you. And that's why I'm starting to wonder as this process goes on, do either one of these guys, do they really want to be in Philadelphia? If it is all about money, if it comes down to money, then I do still fully expect the Phillies to end up with one of them. And I do. I mean, I am confident that it's going to be Machado. If it's not Machado, it's Harper, you know, vice versa. They're going to end up with one, not both. But I just think that it's both guys kind of not being lukewarm about the idea of playing in Philadelphia in the first place and kind of waiting for the better offer to materialize. I don't know what it would take the Phillies to get it done today. It would probably take an offer much larger than they have offered. You know, at the beginning of the offseason, there was the speculation that these guys could hit $400 million. Now there's, I would say, skepticism that they could hit $300 million, which is just so crazy given where we started with this whole, the price tags we saw at the beginning and the length of term that we saw at the beginning of this offseason. So, you know, if the Phillies ponied up $40 or $50 million more dollars in their offer, maybe that gets it done. But it also just might be that those guys are still mulling the idea of playing in Philadelphia over the course of 7 or 8 years.
All right, let's just assume that's right, that they are ambivalent about playing in Philadelphia for whatever reason it is, city, manager, whatever. Wouldn't the Phillies know that? If you and I can sense that, would the Phillies sense that? And then wouldn't they have to pay more money to let that concern go away? In other words, throw $350 million on the board for 10 years and be done with it? Do they have to do that?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, the meeting with Bryce Harper in Las Vegas a few weeks ago, part of that reason was that they wanted to get in front of Bryce Harper because there had been some, you know, buzz nationally that Harper wasn't really
jazzed about the idea of playing in Philly. So that was one of many reasons the Phillies wanted to have a face-to-face meeting with him to gauge whether that was true or not. And if you're an athlete looking to cash in hundreds of millions of dollars, you're going to put on your best performance in that meeting no matter what your true feelings are. You know, it benefits Bryce Harper to do that. It benefits Scott Boras to do that, just to create the aura of competitiveness in the marketplace. But yeah, I mean, that at the end of the day, I do think dollars are going to win the equation. Like, I don't think that Machado is going to pick the White Sox because he wants to play with his brother-in-law and his friend John Jay. I don't think that, you know, a lesser offer from, like, the Padres is going to get Machado to go there. I think these guys are going to follow the money. It's just right now, it's almost like a game of chicken where, all right, let's wait this out. Let's see if the Yankees re-enter the mix. Let's see if the Dodgers re-enter the mix. Let's see if the Cardinals make a late push here, because at this point, if you're a Machado or Harper, the money today is probably not going away in 2 weeks, whereas another suitor might enter the mix within the next 2 weeks.
Doug, Corey Simon covers the Phillies for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Corey, the reason why it's a dangerous game is because you need to reconnect with your fan base. The fan base is kind of detached from the Phillies right now. Nobody's talking about them. This would re-energize them. Create a scene for me where they don't get these guys. What is this? What does that do to the fan base if they don't get one of them?
It would be crushing. I mean, first off, I'm totally with you. This would re-energize the fan base, and that's why I think that Bryce Harper is the move. You know, I get the sense that the Phillies do still prefer Machado because of the positional value of having him at third base, but I think Bryce Harper does more in terms of exciting the fan base than Manny Machado does. If they're some consider them comparable players. I think Harper's just the better hitter. Machado may be the better all-around player, but I see Harper as the much better hitter. If the Phillies don't end up with either one of them, yes, it's going to look like a disaster. I mean, you know, I listened to Matt Klentak this morning with you guys on radio, and he kind of laid out the scene for, okay, well, if it doesn't happen, just keep in mind we did get David Robertson, Andrew McCutchen, Gene Segura. He didn't say it in those words, but it was kind of what he was insinuating. And yes, in many other off seasons, that does represent a job well done, just not when you've been preparing for this one for 4 years, and we've been hearing about these names repeatedly, and you have Middleton's comments at the beginning of the off season. In that case, they would probably pivot and snatch up the available free agents, maybe check back in with a guy like Dallas Keuchel, see if he's willing to accept 3 years of the fourth year option. Maybe look harder at Craig Kimbrel. I could see them going one of those rounds and then just kind of gearing up for the next big star who would come available, which would be Nolan Arenado, perhaps in midseason. You know, there's still that dream of Mike Trout that I don't know if it's ever going to come true, but there's that too. You know, there are some good free agents next year. There just aren't the caliber of guys of Machado and Harper. That's why this is a unique offseason. This is why this is the time to strike and to make an offer you might not feel totally comfortable with.
Let's talk about the Mike Trout thing, because everybody talks about it. They go, oh, you're going to save our money. We can get Mike Trout. Like, it's going to click your fingers and you can get him. What are the roadblocks on getting a guy like Mike Trout, either in a trade or in free agency?
If I'm the Angels, I'm never trading him. And I let it play out as long as it can, and I see what happens. I keep trying to do as much as I can to build around him, because what are the odds that the pieces you get back in a trade of Mike Trout lead you to a championship level, lead you to a consistent playoff level if you're the Angels? You need to get the perfect package of players. You need to get a couple major league ready pieces and some big time, you know, high draft pick, former high draft pick guys who are really highly touted in the upper levels of the minors. There's such a large margin for error with a trade like that, that if I'm the Angels, I don't know if I ever have the heart to do that. Now, Phillies fans aren't going to want to hear that. And, you know, the other roadblock is that if Trout becomes available, every team in baseball is going to want him. And the Phillies, I don't think, have the best young talent in all of baseball. It's just, you know, it's just going to come down to how bad the Angels are this season, how bad they are perhaps in the beginning of next season. If the Angels could get out to like a surprising start this year, they're probably going to play around in the trade market and see what they can do and make one last ditch to keep Mike Trout, kind of in a way that the Pelicans kept trying to keep Anthony Davis by making all these moves and going so many different routes just to appease him. Didn't work for them, but, you know, we'll see what happens with the Angels.
All right, last question is their starting rotation, because right now it looks the same as it's always been, and for me it's not been good enough. So if you consider that Arrieta is a competent number two, and there's still some questions on that, 3-4-5, to me, they think they've got it solved. I'm not so sure. What are they going to do about that? Will they look to sign Keuchel even if they do land one of these big guys? Or does that only come into play if they miss out?
I think it could be an either or. You know, if Keuchel lingers till March 12th the way that Jake Arrieta did last offseason, and it comes to the point where Keuchel's best offer is like, you know, 2 years, $48 million, or 3 years, $60 million, I think the Phillies would definitely re-enter that conversation. I'm not sold about Arrieta either as a competent number two, much less the 3-4-5, and that's why the Phillies need at least one more starting pitcher. You don't get through a full season with five guys, and this group of five guys, 2 through 5, was so volatile last season. You had, you know, all four of them, Arrieta, Eflin, Pivetta, and Velasquez, at different points were really, really good, but in too many other games had high pitch counts by the fourth inning, were out of the game early, the Phillies were down 5-1, they didn't have it, you know, there was one big inning, and in a perfect world, all of these guys, as they enter their age 25, 26 seasons, Pivetta, Velasquez, Eflin, they get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. But even if that does occur, you still need the depth. So even if it's not someone like, you know, Dallas Keuchel, Gio Gonzalez is still out there. We've seen him a lot with the Nationals over the years. I'm not the biggest fan of him because I don't think he's a very efficient pitcher. But quite frankly, he's going to have to sign a one-year deal at this point, given what else is out there and given how far we are in this process. So that's a guy that is worth revisiting on a one-year deal to create some more competition, light a fire under someone like Vince Velasquez to make sure you get the best spring training performance out of him. And that way you have six capable starters and you figure out what to do, you know, when opening day comes. But I don't feel totally comfortable with this rotation either.
All right. Corey, always a pleasure, man. Good stuff. And we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Yes, Corey Simon, who covers the Phillies and has some good insights on the Phillies for NBC Sports Philadelphia. So we're left in the same spot that we were before the telephone call, which is we have no idea. And the big notion is that maybe the players themselves are a little lukewarm about Philadelphia. That's the reason why they're not signing. To which I say, well, then blow them out of the water, because it's the only tool you then have. You can't convince them because you sent Gabe Kapler out there to talk about the restaurant scene that Bryce Harper's going to sign here. It doesn't happen that way. That's why I said the meetings are ridiculous. If they're ambivalent, then convince them that Philly is a good place by giving them $50 million more in the total package. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
3:46, Mike Masnelli Show. What's the temperature out there right now? Is it really cold right now? We're supposed to get like really like single digit temperatures tonight.
Yeah, it's in the 20s now in 20s. Philadelphia, but it's supposed to go down to as low as 4 in the city and less in the suburbs.
Right, it's 4 degrees right now in State College, and there's a snowstorm to the point where they cancel classes at State College. I can tell you that in the 4 years that I was there, I don't think there was ever a class canceled.
A different generation.
So it's a softer generation.
Yeah, but it's also safety matters more. Like, you have to wear a seatbelt now.
Plus, the kids at Penn State are so naturally smart, they don't get a class anyway.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's not true!
That's nice.
I have in front of me some statistics that are mind-boggling regarding Tom Brady and the Patriots. And I know you don't want to hear them, and I know we're not that interested, but there's still this argument out there that he's not the best quarterback of all time, right? He's thrown 18 touchdown passes in the Super Bowl. That Joe Montana is next with 11. He's thrown for 2,576 yards. Kurt Warner is second with 1,156. His 18 touchdown passes have gone, Tyrone, to 13 different receivers.
Wow.
You want to hear some names?
Yeah.
David Patton.
Who?
Deion Branch. Heard him.
Yeah, of course.
David Givens.
Who?
Brandon LaFell. That was recent.
Who?
Danny Woodhead.
Who?
Amendola. Randy Moss. Aaron Hernandez did get in there. Mike Vrabel got in there. Threw a touchdown pass to Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
Remember that one, right?
That was the way they got against the Eagles, okay. I thought.
All right, let me continue here. All right, this guy in his clutchness. 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions when tied or trailing in the fourth quarter or overtime in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
In his 5 Super Bowl wins, he's won 5, all right? People say, oh, he lost 4. All right, he's won five. He's been to nine. It's going to be the ninth. He's 22 of 27, 81% for 215 yards and a touchdown on the final drive of the game. This is mind-boggling. He has five touchdowns and zero interceptions in the final 2 minutes before halftime in his Super Bowl career.
Wow.
So when you blitz, you say, well, Blair Andrews just blitz him. You know, he's not mobile. Against the blitz, in the Super Bowl, he's completed 71% of his passes with five touchdowns and zero interceptions.
That's unbelievable.
It's unfathomable what it is. How could anybody not think he's the best ever?
And if you use the Nick Foles rule of you left the field with the lead, when the 16-0 team, he threw the touchdown pass to Moss before the Giants answered with the whole helmet thing. Mm-hmm. But if you use the Nick Foles rule, you have to give him that game too.
So, listen, the Super Bowl, first of all, I don't understand why can't we mention the Super Bowl? I did a TV show this morning where we couldn't mention the word Super Bowl.
We can mention it.
We can?
You can't.
I can't.
You couldn't because of commercial endeavors.
Well, let me get this straight. Because that's the brand, Super mm-hmm. Bowl, right?
You have to pay them.
When you have a brand, wouldn't you want the brand out there? Like if you go with Pepperidge Farm, wouldn't you want people to say Pepperidge Farm a lot?
Of course. It's very stupid.
I don't understand.
But they're thinking that you're making more money for the brand than the brand is getting from you. So that's why they act that way.
Oh, so you have Super Bowl party and you get a commercial boon on it and they don't.
It's a trademark infringement. It's
trademark infringement.
Yeah.
Now, except anything could be a trademark infringement.
Like Doritos could be.
Exactly. But people want to hear, like Doritos, people want to hear people say Doritos all day long.
Right.
Like, that's the thing I don't get about this branding thing with the Super Bowl.
The NFL does send out a ton of, like, cease and desist letters if it's used. And you can't use Super Sunday either.
No. And they'll ether your social media accounts. To the point where it's like hard to get rid of social media accounts unless the NFL goes after you. If you use it wrong, they'll get rid of it and it'll be unrecoverable. Now, if you try to do that yourself, it'd be impossible.
And
but they can get rid of you completely through somehow if you use it.
And it's also the context in which you use it in. So you could say, make sure to stock up on chips for the Super Bowl, but like a store can't say it's the official Super Bowl chip stop.
All right, so how much?
So you can use it as an event, but you can't use it to advertise.
Okay. So when I like go on TV and say Tom Brady is X touchdowns for X amount of yards, blah, 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 in his Super Bowl career, that somehow is harming their brand?
No, I think that
gaining a commercial advantage from that?
No, but the sponsors are just afraid
to... The sold, so they...
Yeah.
Okay. They don't want to mess with it.
And that sponsor for the show may not sponsor the Super Bowl because, you know, that's an exclusive club.
Yeah. I think I actually slipped and said it once.
They probably bleep it, or it'll be dead air.
Well, we'll see. Mike and Del Ran, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Yeah, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I like the time, man, but I
got
to tell you.
You got good taste.
When I turned the TV on, I had you on mute, and I seen you replying to Evan. I got flashbacks of my high school principal suspending me, man. You got the high school principal look going on.
Well, you know, Evan was a little out of line, I thought.
I think he was very out of line.
Yeah, okay. Well.
Two rule changes I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
The first one, instead of in overtime NFL, if a touchdown scored on the first drive, instead of the game being over, the other team's defense gets an opportunity to try to get the ball into the end zone against the other team's offense.
And how are they going to do that? Just plow it down the field like it's rugby?
Yep, you're going to have to pick somebody on that defensive line. It could be quarterback throwing the ball.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I'm crazy about that. First of all, it's not crazy enough of a rule. You know, we're looking like for ultra crazy here.
All right, how about this one? In the last 2 minutes of the NBA game, instead of shooting free throws for a foul, the player that was fouled gets to go one-on-one with a 10-second shot clock against the guy that fouled him. Could shoot one shot, a two or a three. If he misses and the other guy gets the rebound, the other guy can take it back for a score.
I love that.
You like that?
I love it. I love it. It would make the game really long, though.
Yeah, I think every free throw attempt, both shots are probably 15 to 20 seconds of time worth.
Right? Yeah, I really like that one.
There you go.
That's pretty cool. All right, you want a general knowledge question, bro?
Yes, sir.
All right, we are, I think, in Singer's Wives. Yes. Singers with spouses. So I'm going to give you the spouse. You give me the singer. So I go Russell Brand. Who's the Russell singer?
Brand. Oh, man. Courtney Love?
No, it's Katy Perry. Katy Perry was married to Russell Brand.
Yeah, that didn't last long.
Is it me? Russell Brand actually does not even make me smile. That's how unfunny
he was.
He
was funny in one movie.
He was funny?
In one
movie.
Yes,
in
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I watched that movie. He was funny in that?
Yeah,
his character was quirky.
When he's doing the dance.
Absolutely nothing funny about Russell Brand.
Except for that movie. That's
Russell
a fine
Brand
movie.
And Rob Riggle can walk down the street hand in hand and nobody would laugh.
And Rob Riggle was funny in The Hangover.
Rob Riggle's not funny at all.
He was funny in The Hangover.
In general, forget the role. In general, is there anything funny about these men?
No.
All right. So,
but,
all I'm
but I'm not going to let you talk bad about Sarah Marshall. That's a very rewatchable movie.
Sarah, it was cute. It was a cute.
It's very rewatchable.
It's a couple's movie, Ty. You and the missus watch it?
No, I watch that myself.
Stop, man.
I watch it myself.
You watch it yourself.
I do. I really like that movie.
You
I'm not ashamed.
On the sofa with the wife watching Saving Sarah Marshall.
No. Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Never once. I like that movie, and I'm not ashamed of it either.
All right. 610-632. You're just a softy, Ty. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.